This Saturday, get your second chance cash back bonus from Naira Bets in the Marshawas River Stakes at Gulfstream Park, a race we cover on the main In the Money Players podcast. Just bet 20 to win on one horse using the Naira Bets app. If your horse finishes second, you get your $20 back. New to Naira Bets? No problem. Sign up for Naira Bets today with the promo code MONEY20 and get a deposit match bonus up to $200. With Naira Bets, you can bet any track from anywhere at any time. Just download the Naira app to your phone or go to NairaBets.com.
Here I am!
Hello and welcome to the Naira Bets Players Podcast. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you in the Brooklyn Bunker once again, talking to the usual co-host on the show. For a while, we were bringing in a lot of regular guests, but we've been having fun just knocking these shows out. He's on the planet Texas. He is known as the People's Champion. He's Jonathan Kinchin. JK, what's up?
Nothing much. Someone's outside drilling in the hallway, but they stopped right before you set me up, but they just threw a piece of wood on the floor. So this could be dicey. So we're going to try to work our way through it.
We have no other choice. We've got to get these shows done. If there's a little bit of background noise, it's just like how every other Thursday when I record here, it's laundry day and everybody can hear it, especially when the sweatshirts with the noisy zippers go in the dryer. It becomes a constant din in the background. The listeners are used to it. You know, we're very professional when we can be. Occasionally, though, we remember the fact that we're just a podcast. But I'll tell you what, you listen sometimes to these like top 20 rated podcasts on iTunes and they stop in the middle and pick up again. I think it's accepted. The only reason I am a snob about this audio stuff from time to time is I can hear my late father's voice in my head. He didn't like unprofessional sound quality, and I know he would have cringed at some of the stuff in the early days of this show, but fortunately, for the last 18 months or so since I really took over the production, we've ironed out many of the kinks. If the cost of that is we have to hear a little bit of banging around in the hallway, JK, I think the listeners are going to be okay with it.
I like it. I told some the other day we were having a conversation about some friends of ours that were having a feud amongst themselves. And then I said, I got to be honest, Pete, you don't ever really make me mad except for when you yell at me for no reason for free. Before the show starts.
Yeah, but it was ridiculous, though. It was like you were rubbing the microphone against your jacket or something. And you, of all people, we know you know how to use the mute button because you forget to take it off half the time and I have to edit. The audience doesn't get to hear that anymore. So, I mean, that's really just what that was all about.
If only we could do like an NFL Films thing with you and mic you up before the show. Because we get like guests will come on and Pete always says it as polite as he can. That obnoxious noise in the background, that's going to be off before we start, right?
That absolutely sounds like something I would say. There's no denying that I've probably offended somebody at some point with that. But I just don't see why people don't get better using the mute button. It's really not that hard at the end of the day. But you're the master. We're going to get through. It seems like whatever noise was there isn't being a very big deal right now. So we should be able to get through this Naira late pick five for Saturday. We're going to keep these Naira shows going all winter long at Aqueduct. Historically, I've actually done pretty well at this time of year. I like following the New York circuit. Where's your horse play mostly these days, JK? Where have you been looking?
Obviously with all the time I spent at Naira, a lot of these horses are familiar to me, or if I look back, I can kind of remember some ideas and some thoughts. So, I feel comfortable playing Naira, early pick five, late pick five. And then carryovers, really. Carryover opportunities are what I've kind of focused on. You know, I like to focus in on the grade one, grade two, the higher level racing and build tickets around those races where I feel like I have strong opinions. And this time of the year, we're kind of lacking. But we're at that point right now where it's about to turn the corner. We got big Derby prep starting next weekend, and then next thing you know, we're right into the heat of these Grade Ones and Grade Twos, and Champion horses coming back off of breaks and $3 million races. So it's about to start picking up.
business is about to start to pick up. And that does bring up an interesting idea. We're talking to Naira about what we want to do for these shows in 2020. I think we'll pitch them the idea of doing emergency shows when a carryover situation does present itself. Obviously, it's pretty rare these days with the 20-cent pick six, but special shows for mandatory payout days if they don't naturally happen on a Saturday, that might make sense. Or it also might make sense to do something on those rare occasions where you do have a pick five carryover. I think listeners would appreciate something like that. If I'm right and you're a listener who would appreciate something like that, let us know. Then we can tell our partner Naira and maybe we can get those kind of shows up and running if you're interested. All right, on to the late pick five on Saturday. It starts off in the claiming ranks. We've got 16K claimers going six furlongs on the dirt. We've got a big field of 11. Timeform thinks the pace is going to be fast here. I thought this race was extremely tricky, JK. I can't wait to hear your thoughts. My eye went to two horses. One of them, our Storm and Norman, is a 1-for-15 that hasn't won for years. And for a trainer, and I don't mean to criticize Mark Cassie at all, but, you know, some trainers you're simpatico with, some trainers you're not simpatico with. Mark Cassie, I think the last time I successfully backed a Mark Cassie horse, and he sends out a lot of horses, might have been at Royal Ascot with Tepin. So I always worry when I land on a Cassie runner. The other horse is the one that I'll make my official pick, but it's not exactly the easiest sledding in the world there. Split Verdict might be a layover on the form here, but hasn't been seen on the track in a very long time. I'm going to pick the latter in Split Verdict, but I need some help here, JK. What did you come up with?
Yeah, look, I mean, most people are going to think I'm nuts when I give you my first three legs of this bet. You're going to be like, good Lord, how much money does this guy have? But I'm going to finish single right at the end. So don't look, I thought the same thing. I thought this first race was ridiculous. I agree. Our Storm and Norman is probably the most likely of the winners. But, you know, in this kind of new age, new racetrack, you know, I think ending up in that inside position might not always be the best. Our Storm and Norman could find himself as the favorite down on the inside. So there's an opportunity there to try to inject some value here. He's not the type of horse I want to beat when I have strong opinions later. But he is one that you definitely want to use and include. So I thought he was interesting. Split Verdict that you mentioned has a lot of kind of the layoff lines there, but has some numbers that fit with these. And then I thought some of the outside horses made a little bit of sense. Sober, Sick, and Sorry, first time Linda. That's kind of an auto bet for me. And Linda's been winning in her last 90 days at 26%. So she's going well right now. 25% in the current meet, 41% for the year. So Linda's got things going in the right direction. So that's definitely an upgrade with Sober, Sick, and Sorry being first time in her barn. And then I thought Bronxville with Kendrick Carmouche. Kendrick's always interesting in these cheap races because you know where he's going to be early. He's going to put you out there and get you in a good position forward. And if the other ones decide they don't want to fire or they get into some trouble in behind, Kendrick can sometimes absorb a nice little lead there. And then I'm going to use Chad Summers on the outside. He should be a huge price. Has some early fractions that could be interesting. The 11 Quest for Fire would be more of a B type for me. Maybe kind of a little bit of a saver ticket. We talk about A's and B's, and we'll be doing that more if we can. It's just kind of hard to wrap your brain around. I would use Quest for Fire as more of a saver, but I'm going to spread in this first leg. I think it's tough.
There may be a whole new show where we have the opportunity to delve a little bit deeper into the specifics of the type of wagering strategy we talk about on this show from time to time. And who knows, maybe we can do a little bit of cross-pollination and have some content that can be in both shows, since we are almost always talking about horizontal bets on this show. Let's move along to race number six. We've got a four-year-old allowance here going 6.5 on the dirt. A lot of horses where I feel like you can look at them and say they're probably better than the bare form suggests. The one I'm going to give preference to is Blind Willie McTell. I don't know if you remember, JK, but on the very first Naira Betts Players podcast, we had a long discussion about this horse. I think it was Paul Matisse was the guest that day. But this horse is, and if you remember, I even put the song at the end. It was kind of funny because Marshall Graham, regular listener, and usually his musical taste and mine are very simpatico. But I think he was almost worried that I put this dirge-like blues song at the end of the first Naira Betts Players podcast that he was going to have to hear that every single show. But no, that was just a specific shout-out to the equine blind Willie McTell. But when you're talking about him in this spot, he just looks like he's back doing what I think he really wants to be doing, and that's sprinting. And it doesn't hurt, as you already pointed out, that the barn here has been completely on fire in the new year. I think blind Willie McTell might have too much for these in the second leg of this Naira Betts late pick five. What are your thoughts, my friend?
Yeah, I agree. I'm using that one. Blind Willie McTell. Also going to use, I always mess this one up. Is it Cheritalto?
I'll give you Cheritalto.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Peter. This horse, I think, is interesting. Has won four times at Aqueduct. The last race was unbelievably impressive. Fast figure. A little bit of a concern with that inside draw with a little bit of speed. Could end up in that spot. Hasn't necessarily been ideal at North American racetracks as of late. But also could be quick enough to clear and stay off the inside. So he's one that you have to use based off the last number and how much he likes it at Aqueduct. I'm going to use the two outside horses, too, in here. Like I said, I'm spreading early. The 6, Shamrock, and the 7 scores when he wants. I thought Shamrock has spent the last two races kind of in a disadvantageous place on the racetrack. Had an excuse last time with the slop. Had an excuse the time before that off the layoff at Saratoga and in some deeper waters and facing a horse that's probably going to win a graded stakes going longer this year in Performer. And then the outside horse ran a fast figure last time, albeit it was in the slot for a horse that was a turf type. That's a little bit of a concern, but I love the outside draw. It's Brad Cox. Jose Lizcano's been on fire as of late. He's be sitting down there on the outside with a perfect trip. And probably the longest of the prices of the four horses I mentioned, why that one gets to get involved as well. I'd use the 2, 3, 6, and 7 in the second leg. At least you should be alive going into the third leg.
You make some compelling cases there. I will definitely, on some of my combinations, look to spread a bit. I am good pressing blind Willie McTell, as I said before. And with that, let's move on to race number 7. We stay in the allowance ranks. This time, New York Breds going a mile. Does Big Mountain maybe have a wire-to-wire chance here? That's one I'm going to use, but I do worry that the last time was slop and the weight break might have helped. I also want to give Tiergan a look as a first-time gelding, and Playwright just looked super logical, too logical to leave out based on a couple of good races at this level. Are you starting to narrow down here, JK, or is this a spread race yet again for you?
It's another spread race, but it's a spread race because I'm going to toss the 10 Big Mountain.
Interesting.
Now look, okay. This is one of those situations.
I think the horse is
going to
be a price.
Understand.
I think the horse is going to be a price.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think the figure is way too fast.
Okay.
I just think people are going to fall for the horse a little bit. And enough people will fall for the horse that I feel like there's some value there.
Yeah. Well,
I think the horse will be 4-1.
Okay. That would diminish my interest.
Like
that would definitely diminish my interest. But you're probably right because on these figures, the horse is clear.
Yeah. I think the horse will be. Yeah. I just think there's too many numbers to support the horse in here.
Okay.
And like you mentioned, the slop, getting loose on the lead, in the fog, all these, kind of that finger legs horse they let go, right? Oh, he's going to come back to it. You know what I mean? And,
yep.
and he ran on well and just got nailed at the wire. He was 18-1 that day, so it's not like they were betting him. He's drawn to the outside. I think he's going to be overbet. I'm going to use as many horses in this spot as I can as well because, like I said, I'm finishing the sequence single. I thought Tiergan made sense for Belmont. Had the nice figure last time at Belmont. Hasn't won at Aqueduct. He's run here 3 times, but definitely one that you would consider. Chris Engelhardt's horse, 10-29. Look, I don't want to read the PPs. I'm literally going to use all of these horses that I can. I'm going to use the 2, 3, 7, 8, and 9 are the horses that I'm going to use in here. I'm trying to beat a horse. Those are the ones I'm going to use. Hope for a price here. Hope for a price in the early two parts. And then I'm just going to be alive to my cold double late with hopefully a little bit more value attached to it than if I were just to play the late daily double.
I will keep Big Mountain in, I think, but you're making some good points. And obviously, the lower that one's priced, the less interested I am. Very interesting. The time form power picks that are produced by an algorithm, they typically really favor horses that they have clear. And something in Big Mountain's numbers, really the back form probably, X the last race, has it such that Big Mountain isn't even in the top three of the time form power picks. Just an interesting thing to note. I was hoping that meant maybe a price, but you make a good point that people may end up gravitating there. As for Tiergan, I was hoping you were going to fade that one, because then I was going to bet it all, knowing your history of getting absolutely punched in the face by Donegal runners who you leave out.
Yeah, I'm not tossing the green and gold here.
All right. We're surely moving on to spots where you're going to be getting narrow. Race number 8, we're looking at New York Bred Stakes, the Say Florida Sandy. Some really cool old knockers in here. On form and back class, though, for me, it's tough to look past my boy Tate. I think he could move up off that last race for our friends at Little Red Feather. Is this one of the ones you're looking to narrow down into?
All right. I have a feeling our boys, Billy Koch and Gary Fenton and the rest of the partners are going to be fired up. I think this horse is a top New York bred horse. Michelle Nevins had this horse run, you know, legit open company type of figures in the past. The race November 19th ran well, or excuse me, 24th ran well that day. And I just think the horse is sitting on a big race, has back numbers that are better than anything that any of these have ever run before. And obviously you got a single somewhere. And I think that this is kind of not the boldest single in the world, but I think it's a legit single. I think Avinu Malkanu will take some money down on the inside. T loves a fight, always takes a little bit of money. Since the Noter brothers got the horse, he obviously has popped up and hit you in the face with a couple of big prices. And then the biggest fade, I think, is the outside, the caretaker for Rudy Rodriguez. You know, Rudy hasn't been going, you know, blazing hot as of late, but, you know, Rudy wins in bunches, and this could be one of those to get him started going the right direction. Definitely has got a great draw to the outside, but I'm going to take a stand and just use my boy Tate. The only one I guess I would use outside of that would be the caretaker, but that's going to double my ticket price. So I'd prefer to hit the ticket again if I had enough bankroll to afford that doubling by using the caretaker as well, and I'll just use my boy Tate.
Yeah, I'm with you on my boy Tate as a single and a very likely winner on this card. Let's move on to the nightcap. Maiden Claimers, 25K, going 6 furlongs. The race where we figure out how we're going to get paid. I could see this one going to an off-the-pace type potentially. I really like Gypsy Sorceress in here as a horse who I just think is another one that's just better than the last form looks. Just lots of excuses, whether it's being stuck down on a rail I didn't think was very good, or running on the wrong surface against horses that were just better. Got a sneaky good trainer in Maselli on hand. How are you going to get paid, JK, in this nightcap?
Yeah, you mentioned Maselli. He's been winning, what, I think 29% in the last 90 days. So that's got things going in the right direction there. Look, and this is something that I think you would probably be shocked about, and some of the other people that I'm close to from a handicapping standpoint. I'm going to single Wesley on the outside. Wow. I usually try to beat Wesley when it's not a 2-year-old, when it's not a turf sprint, when it's not at Keeneland in April.
And there's no pace advantage either here, apparently. You know, I feel like you got the 1 who's going to have speed. You got the 9 who's going to have speed. It's not going to be easy for Love Me Tomorrow.
I actually think that this one will be in front. You know, Wesley's always popped out of the gate. This one hasn't had any problems getting out of the gate. Taking the blinkers off, was competitive and bet against Maiden Special Weight Company. Shows up here and like I said, taking the blinkers off. I think this one's going to pop out to the front. The other ones will try. It could look desperate for a second. But I just think this one's going to be too fast early. And although they'll be slowing, I don't think anyone in here is going to be fast enough to catch. The other horse that you mentioned, Gypsy Sorceress, is the only one that I could even get halfway interested in.
I would encourage you to try to make sure to get as much Gypsy Sorceress in there as you can, even if you do like Love Me Tomorrow.
And here's the thing. If you don't like a sequence, you don't have to play it. That's the most important thing that we can give you on this entire show. You're not obligated to play just because there's horses running in a semicircle.
All right, JK, we are out of time. That's going to do it for this edition of the show. I will thank you. I'll thank our sponsor, Naira Betts, one more time, and thank everybody for listening to these shows week in, week out, expecting more good things on the Naira Betts Players Podcast in 2020. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. In the Money Media's business manager is Drew Cotney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos. Cause I'm in. I'm in a New York State of mind. Yeah, yeah. This Saturday, get your second chance cash back bonus from Naira Betts in the Marshawas River Stakes at Gulfstream Park, a race we cover on the main In the Money Players podcast. Just bet 20 to win on one horse using the Naira Betts app. If your horse finishes second, you get your $20 back. New to Naira Betts? No problem. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code MONEY20 and get a deposit match bonus up to $200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track from anywhere at any time. Just download the Naira app to your phone or go to NairaBetts.com.